Following recording is copyright 2012 Catholic Diocese of Little Rock. All rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
If I were to ask you who Jesus is, I'm sure you'd say he's the Son of God, he's the second person of the Blessed Trinity, he is fully human, fully divine. He is the Messiah who saves us from the power of Satan. He is the Redeemer whose death was the price of our freedom. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God the Father, from whence he will judge the living and the dead. But you know, until Holy Week 2,000 years ago, nobody knew any of this. Until then, during the time of Jesus' public ministry, before that last week of his life, the people knew Jesus only as a preacher, an exorcist, and a healer. So when he sent his disciples out on their first mission, it was to do what he had been doing: to preach, to drive out demons, and to heal the sick. In today's gospel, Mark precedes that first mission of the apostles with the story of Jesus raising Jairus' apparently dead daughter and his healing of a woman who had been menstruating incurably for 12 years nonstop. Cures that only God could do. Can you imagine what it would be like to have a never-ending period, or what it would be like to be married to such a woman? And healing isn't the only issue. In Judaism, all contact with corpses and all contact with menstruating women made you unclean, which is what these two healings did to Jesus, at least in the eyes of his contemporaries. Voluntarily, for the benefit of this dead girl, and involuntarily, for this menstruating woman. She touched him. And of course, you can't be holy and impure at the same time. And here was Jesus, who was impure a lot. Unclean also because he touched lepers. Unclean also because he associated with unsavory characters. And then most shockingly, he sends his disciples out to do the very same thing, as we will hear in the gospel readings throughout this month. We'll hear that they went off and they preached repentance. They drove out demons. They anointed many who were sick and cured them. And then when they returned, they reported all that they had done and taught. Luke reports that there was then a later mission of 72 disciples prior to Holy Week. And then after Pentecost, we see Peter and Paul and the others doing the very same thing in the Acts of the Apostles: healings and exorcisms that only God could do, preaching the good news with courage and with a kind of wisdom that could only come from God. Not only did they spend the rest of their lives doing what Jesus had done, most of them ended up dying a martyr's death like Jesus. So united had they become to Jesus, their Savior. Well, now, you, every one of us, you are every bit as much a disciple of Jesus as they were. And by the way, you know a whole lot more about Jesus than they did. Certainly you know a whole lot more about Jesus than they did prior to that first Holy Week. And since you have been given more and understand more than Jesus' earliest followers, you will be held to a higher standard than them. And what God expects of you today is essentially the same as it has always been. that you preach conversion, that you proclaim the truth with courage, that you banish evil with prayer, that you cure the sick with healing love, which in fact, of course, are things that only God can do. But as we see from the scriptures, God can and will do these things through us. And to do so, we sometimes finding ourselves having to deal with some seemingly unclean people. We have to deal with people that we might sort of find repulsive, people who make us feel unclean and look unclean to others, voluntarily or involuntarily. But that's what spending the rest of our life doing what Jesus does requires. And in so doing, we too become ever more intimately united to Jesus, our Savior, already in this life and most fully in the life to come.